this isn't cutting edge science here. This show is not cutting edge science.
No, it's not. No.
No.
Why did you say? You said I laughed awkwardly. I take a sip of my water awkwardly. I mean, my daughter told me I walk like a man. I'm just...
It's just gentle bullying, Tony.
Useless.
It's gentle bullying.
That is so going to be an outtake.
It's all in the editing, isn't it?
Okay, right.
What's up?
Focus.
Where am we at? Right. Yeah, focus, focus, focus. Okay.
So, hi. How are we going to do this?
Howdy.
Howdy. Well, this is how organised we are. How are we going to do this? We know what we want to talk about.
Well, I think it's fair, isn't it? Because a lot of people, when they approach marketing, think, how are we going to do this?
I am marketing personified.
Oh, wait. You are behind some of the greatest marketing hits. Oh, well, I don't know if the campaigns we worked on together were award-winning, but you are award-winning.
I know, isn't that scary? How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
You nominated yourself?
No! So, best lead generation company in the south of England is quite an accolade to behold. The best. But they quantify it as the best, categorically, come to KB.
Wow. Well, at least it gives people a reason to believe that the advice you have to offer is sound.
For the most part.
It is.
Should we give you a little bit of a pep talk? You're Tony Kent, podcast extraordinaire. I think that's a good title for you to work with.
If I was to kind of say who I am and what I do, I would say that I'm a writer and a performer, and I have written 4 books. I have ghostwritten thousands of articles for senior leaders in the tech industry. I've performed and been commissioned to write poems for weddings, funerals, birthdays. I've written a best man speech. I've done stand-up, or I do stand-up.
She's Tony Kemp, prolific producer of content. I'm Chris, and I'm just prolific. I am a mega marketer here from KB.
We're here to convert people to the joys of marketing.
The joys of marketing. Marketing can be fun. Marketing fun and frolics with Chris Britton and Tony Kemp.
If episode 1 is about finding your voice. Did you do music classes at school?
I was paired with someone who couldn't sing. The key to my success was to remove that person from our duet. My grade increased. Don't know what, why, or whether it increased enough, but it increased, and I just remember that very clearly.
Well, the reason I asked you about music and finding your voice is because that's something that's difficult for many brands or many people, is finding the voice of their organization.
So you're defining that as in more than just tone of voice. You're saying that it's finding what their organization's presence and identity is all about, how they present themselves. Are they a corporate that presents themselves in a very astute way? Or are they a startup that presents themselves as very agile and nimble? Or are they a lying corporate who presents themselves as agile and nimble? And we all know they're not.
They're not. I think the language that they use, whether that's online or podcasting content or in print, it is, I think, a challenge for a lot of people, and something we come up against a lot is in that tech space.
Yeah, how to make yourself not sound robotic. And it's actually something we get asked a lot, because what part of what we're doing is when we're connecting with individuals, and the first impression we're giving, especially through the world of LinkedIn, and we're trying to present so many different businesses in so many different ways, is this coming across as automated? Does this person sound automated? Are they sounding like they are? This is coming from a person. And unfortunately, quite often, I don't know, I'm sure many of the people watching this are going to be saying something similar, but they also will get so many automated messages through LinkedIn, and you go, that's so obviously automated.
And I think that's a good point, because I'll give you an example, actually. There is somebody that I'm connected with on LinkedIn, and they have got tens of thousands of connections, and they run an online community on LinkedIn. When I get a message from them, I don't believe it's from them.
Does it make you want to unfollow them?
It makes me not want to engage with their content, because I don't think this is you sending me the message, and it becomes an insincere. It's like, hi, Tony, how are you? All right, shall we talk about Harry?
The sexy guy that is Harry Styles, I was about to say. Not Harry Styles.
No. But this could be extended to Harry Styles, because they have both broken out of what were two very clearly defined brands, if you like.
Brand identity.
They have both decided to come forward and say, actually, this is who I am.
But if we look at Prince Harry to start with.
Yeah.
How to market yourself badly is a good example of what Prince Harry's done. There's defining a revelation and to share something which is of value to other people, but it's almost like we have become the public therapist for Prince Harry. Now, for full disclosure, I haven't read the book, but I feel like I've read the book from the amount of coverage it's received. He is forever going to be beholden to that image that is now out there of him.
I think the public therapist point is bang on, actually. He's probably thinking, right, I want to establish myself as an individual human being. I feel stifled by royal protocol, and I want my side of the story to be heard. But what I've also seen is, as you say, with the media, you feel like you've read the book, but then they are misreporting passages from it or using it to support their own agenda. And he's donated, I was checking, $1.5 million to a charity that he set up to help children with HIV and AIDS in Lesotho. He's trying to do some good and donated a whole ton of cash and 300 grand to Well Child as well. So it's funny, isn't it, how you've got him saying, right, I want to put my story out there, and then the audience are going, well, I'm going to take this bit and do that with it. I'm going to ignore that bit, and I'm going to use this for my own gain. I wonder what we can, I don't know, what would you take from that?
I think it folds back really nicely, that point that of what you said is people often say any PR is good PR, whether it's good PR or bad PR. In the moment, it probably feels like the worst thing you're possibly going through. And you go into like almost like a crisis com mode, which is how it possibly probably feels for him. Because despite him probably feeling he's very much in control, he's obviously exposed to the public opinion that's going to naturally form of him. And I definitely don't think that any PR is good PR from that point of view, because he could be doing so much more. He claims he wants privacy. He's not going to get that privacy by publishing his whole life story in a book.
Do you think, to what extent should you start with the end in mind versus putting content out there?
It's a really, really good question, because KB was never born to be an agency as it is now. And the route that we've gone down definitely wasn't the route that we'd originally planned. But that doesn't mean to say that we lose sight of the business plan and what we're looking to achieve. Being able to service customers, to be able to generate leads, that's ultimately, at the end of the day, when you boil it down and distill what we want to achieve, it's lead generation, helping companies grow financially. Now, the mechanisms and what we do to get from point A to point B change all the time. So we'll constantly adapt to technology and whatever that might be. Now, when that comes down to the content, we still want to be able to get to the same goal and provide content, for example, that's going to help generate those leads and convert those people who are stumbling across the content, consuming that content that's been syndicated out to the market, helping them then become leads and become attractive customers and turn the prospects into paying customers. However, the type of content that is being put out there is going to be very, very, very different. We don't want to be producing content, for example, that's outdated or producing content that's not relevant.
I think for some people that might feel quite uncomfortable, because if you think about some of the voices that are getting the most exposure or are heard the loudest are those that are very opinionated, extremely direct, focused, single track. What do you think about that as a tactic?
An opinionated person is always going to generate interest. So if I go and make a really bold statement saying something like, absolutely don't agree with this, but something really bold, like websites are dead, there's absolutely no point in having a website, you're completely wasting your time, apps are the way forward. There's going to be someone like me that pipes up and says, what on earth are you on about? We generate new business for customers through websites day in and day out. And actually none of our customers are using apps at the moment in order to achieve their goal. Now, I'm not saying there's not a space on the market for apps, but by speaking out and making a big opinion, they're going to start gaining that social momentum, those comments that are going to evolve on social media. And if you notice, when you look at people's posts on LinkedIn and things like that, people are putting more and more effort to ask open questions because they're looking for the comments to drive the algorithms to boost the coverage of the post. So when we're putting open questions out there, vote for this, do you agree with that? What do you think of this statement that I've made below, tell me what you think. Ideally, they're looking for that level of engagement, even if it's a like or a response, a reaction to that post, because they're trying to drive the coverage, the free coverage. Let's not forget, this is free coverage they're getting. When you look at what people are trying to achieve, it's very much around giving a very, very left or right opinion, a zero or a one, and being very, very binary about it. If you're going to be grey and sit in the middle, you probably won't get as much coverage.
Then it becomes that big numbers game, because there's so much content I just scroll past now where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's very true in what you say. My LinkedIn feed has been flooded, and I mean flooded for the month. So we're recording this now in January, and it has been flooded with individuals at the beginning of the year saying, I don't work these hours, or my New Year's mission is to do this, which is a real controversial subject to put on a platform, has individuals on there that are driven to succeed by putting the hours into their work. So when, and quote unquote, one of them went as far as saying, I only give 80% of what I'm capable of doing to my employer. When you take a step back and have a look at what they're trying to achieve, they're trying to create an opinion that's so bold that's going to gain traction. And it did. It had something like 8,000 odd likes. There was 1,000 plus comments on that. And a lot of people getting quite riled by it. Realistically, I don't know whether that was intentionally done for any kind of real gain other than coverage. So she's not going to win new business from that. But that's very much what it feels like Prince Harry has done in this example that we've discussed already to this point. He's going against the grain, but that's why he's getting the coverage he's getting. Because let's be honest, if he had gone and just donated, just in inverted commas, but donated his £1.5 million or however much you said it was just now to the charities to help support with HIV and AIDS, wouldn't got anywhere near as much coverage as what he's getting at the moment by being controversial.
When you've got so much to say, and he has got a lot, I mean, my goodness, he has got a lot to say and a lot of experiences that are very, he's got a very unique set of experiences. So he's just gone, blah, you've got, you know, fighting in Afghanistan, you've got his mother's death, you've got his fallout with his brother, you've got the Queen's death, you've got his dad becoming king, you've got meeting Meghan, you've got marrying an American, you've got mixed race heritage. It's kind of, if someone came to you and said, I've got like 36 really, really big things I want to talk about, how would you advise them?
It comes back to the objective of what they want to achieve. And this part is critical. Any person that we first ever engage with, we always say, what are you trying to do? What is the gap that is in your business? Now stay with me for a second on this, because this is really quite a difficult thing to explain. So the first thing we try and establish is, what are they trying to do? And we always say, what is your business's gap? So GAP standing for grow, attract and protect. So are they trying to grow their existing business by effectively the share of wallet with their existing customers? So they know that they've got 20% of their customers are spending £1,000 a month, but they've got the capability of spending £3,000 a month. Are they looking to attract new customers because they've got a really good customer base, but they want to be able to attract more and more and more and more customers? Or are they looking to protect their existing customers because they've got a really high churn rate, or someone's attacking them, a competitor's attacking them in trying to be a market leader as opposed to a challenger, that they're effectively eroding their customer base and they're trying to protect their existing customers from leaving? Now, those three, grow, attract and protect, those are absolutely critical, because so many individuals that we speak to, and probably many people who are listening to this podcast right now, will say, well, I want all three. So many. We say, what do you want to do? And they say, well, I want all three. Of course I want to grow share of wallet with my existing customers. Of course I want to attract new customers. And of course I want to protect the existing customers from leaving. And I'm going, yes, but if we try and create one thing that is going to be focused around all of those, you're going to dilute your message and you won't get tangible results. Once we finally do establish what a customer's trying to achieve, then we can go about setting out what that content would look like or how we would help them get to that point of achieving that. But the content, going back to what I said earlier about getting from point A to point B, is merely the mechanism for us to be able to get to the grow, attract or protect. So to that point of achieving customer acquisition or improving customer churn rate, for example. You want to stand out. You want to be good. You want to produce good Marmite. You want to produce good Marmite. Now, that's going to be my new phrase, good Marmite. How do we help you produce good Marmite? How do we help people really decide, I love them, I want to work with them, or they're not for me, I hate them. Hate's a strong word, but love or hate. We want people to be very binary here, zero or one. It's the people who are unsure that are going to waste your salespeople's time. Oh, call me back next week, call me back in a month, I'm not sure if you're right for me, blah, blah, blah. You want people to give you a definitive, yes, I'm going to go ahead, or no, I don't. So how do you go about doing that? Now, let's take your example that you gave for tech and software. There is no reason that people cannot draw comparisons between what they offer versus what their competitors offer. And quite often you see this, you do see this crop up, especially within the tech industry. This piece of software is capable of doing all of this, and you get all the tick boxes that run down, and this and our software is capable of doing this. And miraculously, the points that they display always have more ticks against them, right? But they are trying to be controversial in what they're doing. They'll undercut on price and things like this. So they're trying to be different in what they're doing to be able to acquire the market and gain market share, right? Ultimately.
You brought me on to the next question I wanted to ask you, which is related to how do you deal with, so we talked about sort of being controversial and wanting to be good Marmite. How about people who think you're bad Marmite?
I'm going to actually flip reverse that and just say for a second, have you got an example at all of when you might have thought that you might have produced bad Marmite, maybe in a pitch or something like that? Have you ever had experience like that at all?
Well, do you know, I've almost got over it. So I did a speaking gig for a big collection of insurance companies and it went really, really well. And I thought I would add them a bit of value with a bit of stand-up in the evening. I was like, I'll do a bit of stand-up for you over dinner because they invite me to stay for dinner. And I did some content which was related to how women bear an incredible burden when it comes to intimate hygiene. And I have a poem about bikini waxing. And I did not get my usual response because many people in the audience were like, well, I didn't come here to hear some bloody woman go on about, you know, how it's not fair that they're expected to wax. And afterwards, a guy came up to me, he said, oh, will you sign my diversity and inclusion card, please? And I thought, oh my God, some people really didn't like it. And I struggled to sleep that night, I tell you, because I'd gone from this, they really loved what I did. And then I was like, oh, I offered them something that I thought was good. And they went, no, we don't like that.
So that's good. And the reason, and that's a really good example you've given, because content is relative. And it's relative from the point of view that every person has their own interpretation of what they enjoy. You've got some people who absolutely love Peter Kay, went nuts that he's brought out a new tour and he's going to be touring in 2023. And then you've got other people who go, absolutely hate his type of comedy. And it's because content is totally relative to the individual. It's what the individual is going to enjoy consuming. You've got some people here who are going to miss out on this whole fantastic series that we are doing together, Tony, throughout the year of 2023, yeah, because they don't enjoy consuming podcast content. And it's quite as simple, yeah, as that. So from a bad Marmite point of view, I would say that really it's almost like there's no such thing as bad Marmite from that point of view, because that probably, you're using your example, would have landed very, very well in a different audience or a different setting. However, it became, yeah, bad Marmite because of a misjudgment, yeah, on your part, to use your
on
example.
On my part.
On your part. Poor you.
Like, yeah, exactly. Scrape my tongue. Bad Marmite.
Bad Marmite.
How have you helped customers to decide what they want to say?
Where we add most value, and we hear this consistently, is being an external pair of eyes. Customers that we have, as much as we love them, are notoriously bad at being customer obsessed. When you're syndicating a piece of content like a white paper or something that's a downloadable guide, you don't necessarily, you think, oh, it's great because I'm doing something. Actually doing something may not be as beneficial as you think it could be. You may not be getting as much juice out of the orange as you possibly could be getting. So a really good example of that is a company that we work with, where we look at processing data quality and how data is augmented and then spat back out effectively for the use of analytics, and to be able to understand and better interpret where they can make changes in their business to maximize profit. The way their content was being consumed before we started working with them, it was very, very dry. But also, whenever we presented it to anyone and asked for honest feedback, they went, I don't know what they do. I do not understand what it is their product offers. Now, through helping them on that journey, we're being a bit more prescriptive over how they should be positioning themselves in the market and how they should be positioning what their product can offer. Now it's a lot, lot clearer. And their interest in their product from prospective customers has massively increased, because people understand what it is that they're doing, what it is that they're offering now, which is a massive step forward for them.
If I were to summarize what I've heard based on what you've told me, so I think you need clarity. Well, and actually I would say clarity of how you speak to your customers. So it is, be, you know, specific and be straightforward in what it is you're trying to say, to have focus on a particular area, so you're not trying to show them all of the buffet all at once, you know, because you don't know what bit to pick, and to really think about what is it that you are expecting other people to take on.
Yeah, and also to not lose sight of your direction of travel and what you're trying to achieve. The objective is you want to feel full afterwards. You don't want to leave a buffet still feeling hungry and having to go down to, you know, come back home and you're immediately binging on some crisps, because actually you're not that full up from you know, from the buffet. So ultimately, don't present everything at once. Don't present your starters, your mains and your dessert all at once, because people will just have effectively a choice paralysis. But to come back to that point, make sure that you don't lose sight of what the objective is. If the objective is to attract more customers, to grow your existing share of wallet, whatever that might be, you need to make sure that your focus at the end of the day, you don't lose sight of what that objective is. How you get there, it's a fluid process, and there's so many ways you can interpret that, and you will find things that stick and yield and work well for you. But ultimately, my top tip here is to really make sure that you've got focus on what the end goal is, but to also have that clarity, coming back to what your point is. Have clarity in what you're saying. Make sure it's really, really clear, well understood, and what you're offering is really, really well understood by prospective or existing customers. Well, that leaves us, I guess, with no more to say. We're going to give people their time back, but that is a pretty good wrap-up you've given there, Tony. So I really do appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on this podcast series as well. It's been really great having everyone on this journey with us. So let's see what the rest of the year unfolds in our next episode. It's going to be interesting, don't you think, Tony?
I love it. Love it, Chris. Always love happy it. To be with you.
Bye-bye.